Let's go over to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to be in chapter 5. Ooh. And before we get into the scripture this morning and the word, let's just pray. Let's welcome the presence of God in. I mean, he's already here, but let's just continue to acknowledge him. Keep the presence and the Spirit of God at the forefront of all that we're doing. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Lord, just as you were moving and changing lives and you were at work, Holy Spirit, during this worship time, we ask that the spirit of worship would continue. Spirit, lead us in the praise and worship of the Father as we bring the word. Lord, I ask for your blessing as I share it, and I ask for the blessing on every person who's hearing this. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak and reveal great things. Give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding to just really grasp the things that you're trying to share with us today. Holy Spirit, minister to each person as they need. And go before us and do the mighty works that you do. We submit to you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. I don't know about everybody else, but I had a lot of fun during worship today. My goodness. My ever-loving goodness. That was awesome. All the time, right? God is good. All the time. The things that we know, you know? Oh, man. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And I have been going periodically over the last maybe 2 years or so. I've been really going back into 2 Chronicles 5. And it's, everybody already knows this, I'm sure, but just for my sake, it's the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. And it is the moment when they bring in the ark, the presence of God. The presence of God comes into the temple for the first time. And I just love what happens here. And what happens here in this scripture reminds me a lot, and I'm glad to see, when something that's happening in the body, something that's happening in the church, looks a lot like something amazing that happened in the Word. I love that. That's awesome. As Pastor was sharing just a little bit ago, you know, things are changing. Things are progressing. Things are moving forward. And some things that we had held on to in our church experience, some things that we had held on to and thought, well, this is the apex of our Christian life, our Christian experience. Some of those things, when the shaking comes and when God begins to move, we have to let those go. We have to hold loosely to the things that in our minds we think are the end-all, be-all. If we ever think that something is the end-all, be-all of what God can do, then that's a pretty sure sign that we're mistaken. Because we can't reach the end. He's limitless. We can't reach the end of the expression that he wants to bring through us. We can't reach the end of his goodness. We can't reach the end of his mercy. His love, you know, you may have heard the song, his love never runs out on me, you know. It's always more. No matter how far we feel we've progressed in the Lord, there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. And there's only so much that we can carry with us as we move forward. So some things have to be left behind. We may go back and revisit them from time to time. You know, there are songs that we'll sing in worship and we think, wow, we haven't sung that one since 1983. But for some reason, we're going to sing it today in 2017, and there's going to be something new on it. Because he talks about this a lot, about how when God is moving, he never gets rid of the foundation. We build upon the foundation. We honor the foundation that was established before us. Sometimes we've moved a little bit on, and we don't. We don't cling as tightly to some things, some maybe pet expressions or some revelation that we had previously. But we never completely lose those things. God wants to meld the old and the new. He wants to bring a new thing by melding the things that he has already spoken into the things that he has yet to reveal. So with that in mind, let's move into 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Here, oh, by the way, as always, I'm reading out of the easy-to-read version, the ERV. I know that sounds funny, but it helps me. So, here we go. When all the work was completed on the Lord's temple, Solomon brought in everything his father David had set aside for the temple. Solomon put all the furniture and all the things made of silver and gold into the storage rooms in God's temple. Once again, we're opening something new, but we're honoring the thing that came before, right? Melding of the generations. And I love, in the easy-to-read version, this little section is entitled, "The Holy Box Carried into the Temple." So, ark is a cool word, but holy box is kind of fun. Lord, we are the new holy box. We carry the Spirit with us. So Solomon commanded the elders of Israel, the leaders of the tribes, and the heads of families to meet together in Jerusalem. He did this so that they could bring the box of the Lord's agreement up into the temple from the city of David, that is Zion. All the men of Israel met together before King Solomon during the special festival in the seventh month of the year. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the Levites lifted the box of the agreement and carried it up to the temple. The priests and the Levites also brought the meeting tent and all the holy things that were in it to the temple in Jerusalem. And then King Solomon and all the Israelites met in front of the, I'm going to just say ark, because box is sounding weird to me now, met in front of the ark to offer sheep and bulls as sacrifices. There were so many offerings that no one could count them. Then the priests carried the ark to the place that was prepared for it in the most holy place inside the temple. They put the Ark of the Covenant under the wings of the cherub angels. The cherub angels stood with their wings spread over the box of agreement and the poles that were used to carry it. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 10. No, it's verse 11. Here we go. Here's what I really meant to say. Verse 11. All the priests who were there did the ceremony to make themselves holy. And then as they came out of the holy place, they stood together, but not in their special groups. The Levite singers stood at the east side of the altar. All the singing groups of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun were there, and their sons and relatives were there. The Levite singers dressed in white linen. They had cymbals, lyres, and harps. There were 120 priests there with the Levite singers. The priests blew trumpets, and those who blew the trumpets and those who sang were like one person. They made one sound when they praised and thanked the Lord. They made a loud noise with the trumpets, the cymbals, and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, singing, "The Lord is good. His faithful love will last forever." And then the Lord's temple was filled with a cloud. The priests could not continue to serve because of the cloud, because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Man. And with that, I can just be done today. There it is. One of the things that strike, actually, there's a couple things that strike me about this that also very much struck me about worship this morning. The first thing that strikes me is the, from verse 11 through verse 15, how many times all is used? How many times we're reminded that it was all of the priests, it was all of the tribes, it was all of the men, all of the women, all of the children, it was all of everyone, all together. This is a collective expression. This is a collective expression. Another thing that that really was hitting me here recently, I switched over to the NIV, and it says in verse 11, the priests withdrew from the holy place. They consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians stood on the east side of the altar dressed in fine linen and piercing cymbal, or playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. In there in verse 11, they came together. NIV says, regardless of their divisions. We've got 12 separate tribes of Israel all coming together to dedicate the temple. But when those priests come, they put aside the natural divisions that they have because of their ancestry, their lineage. Rather than, I'm from this tribe, you're from that tribe, you're from that tribe. I'm the priest from here, you're the priest from there. And I guess, yeah, maybe we can all come together, but I'm still the priest from there. They put aside their divisions when they came into the temple of the Lord, and they decided, made a conscious choice, you know what, while we're doing this, what we're doing here and who we're serving is more important than this particular division that I have used to differentiate me from you. So they came together regardless of their divisions. Skipping ahead to verse 13. The trumpeters and the musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord, and they sang, "He's good, His love endures forever." One more quick thing about this, and then there's a couple of other things I want to share. It says that in verse 13, 14, then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And as I'm reading this, and more recently I've started, I don't know if you're like me, but at times I read something and I think, oh, cool, they did that, and then the Spirit of God filled the temple. That was awesome how they made that happen. It's really cool how when they did this and held their tongues just the right way and, you know, they did the cool little dance. Remember the dance that we used to do? That little... Yeah, it was so fun. Not as much now, but it was fun then. But, you know, and if we'll do this and if we'll do that, then maybe we can convince God to move, to be convinced by us, right? Where lately is, well, the presence of God was there before they walked in. The presence of God was there before any of these priests were born. The presence of God just is. So what I find is wonderful and unique and encouraging about this is that there's something about this collective expression, this submitting of our wills to one another and that collective will to the will of the Father that causes something to be revealed to us. Not something that wasn't there before. The presence of God was there before they started singing. But there's something about getting rid of our divisions, getting rid of the things that we have used to prop ourselves up and to say, I'm different from you, you're different from me, this is my position, this is my gifting, that's my, whatever. And giftings and anointing and position, those are all wonderful things. But there's something about recognizing that when we let go of our hold on those things, we can collectively focus on God Himself. And when we do this, there's something, not that, it doesn't appear because it wasn't there. It appears because the veil has been removed. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of the individual members of each of these tribes, some of the priests, some of the children, some of the women who were there, I'm pretty sure that individually they knew before it was revealed to the group, like, oh, the glory cloud's here. I can see it. That happens in our church, right? Some of you are just like spooky, crazy. I'm serious. Like, I'm like a very, like, sober, level-headed, like, spirit-filled Christian. So I'll talk to some people, after service, man, worship was awesome. Yeah, God was really doing some great things. I was seeing what was happening. I was feeling things. Yeah, you know, I saw this angel who was, like, standing right above your head, and he was like, what? You know, it's awesome. And then he, like, looked at me, and he was like, dude, this is what surf's all about. And he talked like Elvis, and it was crazy. And like, man, and then this, like, wave came. And just, I got knocked over. I couldn't even stand. And I'm thinking, that was all going on? I was like, and the Lord loves you. I'm playing on my guitar. And everybody else is having, like, these, like, crazy, wacky things going on. I'm pretty sure that individually some of these who are gathered here were aware of the cloud. They saw it. And they're looking and they're thinking, oh man, I'm seeing this. This is wonderful. What I find really remarkable about this passage is that they all saw it, right? They all saw it. The temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Not that it wasn't there, but at this moment, they all were aware. Every single one of them. And it says here that the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. And I'm just speculating, but I'm not so sure that the priests needed to perform their service. If the Lord is here, if the cloud is here, if the glory of God is present and thick and tangible, and we've all come together, we've all submitted ourselves, Lord, we all collectively are pressed in. We all want to see your glory. And then all of a sudden we all see it. What do we need the priest for? I don't know if that's heresy or not. I'm not really sure. I'm new at this. But there will come a day, the Bible says there will come a day when there be no need that a man teach you. Because you'll behold the Lord. You'll be hearing directly from the Spirit of God. And as we're you know, for a while now, for a couple of years, a prevailing message in this church has been oneness and unity, oneness and unity, oneness and unity. And there's something to that. If I look back to 2 Chronicles 5, oneness and unity was kind of a big deal then, apparently. Because it was only through their submission to one another and their unifying around, we want to see the presence. We want to behold the Lord in all his glory. It was because of that that they had this incredible, amazing breakthrough. And it hasn't changed. I believe that this, and this morning, getting back to this morning there was a moment where we just sort of stopped playing music. I don't know if that was weird or not at first, but we finished a song, and a song is great. A song is wonderful, and so many times the Lord will use a specific song because it's something that's percolating in the hearts of the people in the particular gathering. And that song, that declaration that was in your heart, that maybe we didn't know we wanted to declare, you see the lyrics up there, it strikes something in here, and you begin to declare the truth of God. You begin to declare who you are. You begin to declare and speak out and sing out and shout out the things that God would have us say, and not the things that our circumstance or someone's opinion or some of our fears, some of our doubts, some of our past. You don't declare those things. You get in that moment of worship, and there's a song that the Holy Spirit had us sing that day because it gives you the words to declare the things that are inside, but you didn't have the words for, right? So the songs are great, but the songs aren't everything. The songs that are already scripted out many times are a springboard for what God wants to do that's deeper. So there was a moment this morning when we just sort of stopped playing. I mean, not entirely. We made Megan keep playing. Where's Megan? We made Megan keep playing because she plays beautifully and she was on the keyboard and we need that. So, you know, Megan's just holding out a chord. I'm just holding out a chord and we're just waiting. And it was beautiful because so many, please hear my heart when I say this. So many, that's a real sign that I'm about to say something dumb. Please hear my heart. Don't pay attention to what my words are saying. Just listen to this. But so many times I feel like, and I've done this when I'm not leading. Heck, I've done it when I'm leading. But you come into a worship service and we're thinking, oh man, I can't wait till so-and-so starts bringing this because I'm going to join right in. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful for us all for somebody to spearhead a movement and for all of us to jump in. But we've all got a song. We've all got a song. We've all got a voice. We've all got a declaration to make. And when we're tuned into that same Holy Spirit, stuff happens like what happened in 2 Chronicles 5 and what happened today. We're just sitting out holding out a chord, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I don't know where we're going from here. But in my heart, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit say, it's okay, just wait. It's about to get really, really sweet. So we just hold out. Usually when we're holding out in that vein, it's a lot longer than my mind thinks is okay. We're holding out, holding out. Lord, are you about to do something? Just relax. Lord, what's about to happen? Just relax. I've done this a million times. It's okay. Right? The Holy Spirit's like, I've led worship before. It's okay. You guys are novices. Right? And it was beautiful this morning. I don't know if you remember the moment. I sure do. It was impactful for me when we were just waiting on the Lord. And then Not from somebody with a microphone, although I love all the people with microphones, but from us as a people, a sound started coming up. A cry started coming forth. And it was unified in his expression. It began with people singing out in the spirit, people, you know, just la 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 la, you know, making melody. But that is how it starts. That is how it starts. I've said so many times before that it's so much easier for God to guide me than just to get me moving, right? Momentum is a wonderful thing. And if I just start moving, God can move me. God can guide my course. But if I'm unwilling to move, it's a lot harder for God to push me into doing something, right? So sometimes all it takes is for us to, okay, I feel silly. I don't know what I'm about to sing. And then, hey, Lord, I bless your name. You know, and it percolates up, it rises up, but we have to let the lid off so that things can come out. And that's what happened this morning. And it was beautiful, and it reminded me, and I thought to myself, wow, what a wonderful thing, because that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. How great. We were the object lesson this morning. And the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. And we had just a smidgen of that experience this morning, where I was ready to lead us into another song, because God's called me to lead worship here, and so, you know, many times what is happening in a service is because, you know, I made it. I took that step or whatever, because I'm supposed to. Doing my job. I'm just doing my job, people. But today, we got into that moment, and we collectively heard from the Spirit. And we collectively put down our guard, put down the walls of division, put down the things that we hang our hat on all the time. And we just began to sing out. And because of that, standing up there, not that I couldn't minister, but it wasn't necessary. I didn't need to, because we were doing it ourselves. And then it became what I see here in 2 Chronicles 5. I love this passage. I really do. Look at verse 13. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. So the voices, it says here that those who sang in the New King James, I think it says those who sang. The trumpeters and those who sang joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. And then after that, it said, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. Accompanied. It's awful fun, and it's really energetic, and it's awfully wonderful when we have loud guitars and loud drums and loud bass and all that kind of stuff, and it's great. But honestly, those aren't supposed to lead us in worship. None of this is in my notes, by the way. I'm sorry. I had something planned, and we're doing this instead. So we've got instrumentation. We've got a sound system that works almost time. Will, did you do that? That was not Will. That was the Holy Spirit being funny. Oh, man. Wow. What do you do with that? That's crazy. So we have the stuff that we have here to make worship have a louder volume. But all that stuff is not to break a path. All of that stuff is to support the voices of his beloved while they declare. All of that stuff here, it says in verse 13, the trumpeters, the musicians, all the voices joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. And they were accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. And the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord, and they sang, he is good. His love endures forever. He is good. His love endures forever. One last thing I love about this passage is that all these priests coming from their various tribes, their various jobs, their day jobs as priests, the things that they have to do all the time, they eschew those things. They set those things aside, and instead, they come together as one. And what do they all declare as a people? They declare one thing. And that one thing is not about once again, hear my heart on this. That one thing is not about how God makes me feel when I worship him. That one thing is not about how awesome it is to be in love with Jesus. None of it is focused on the worshiper. This declaration is focused on the one who deserves the worship. This is a hear my heart moment. I like a lot of those songs that are that help me to connect, that give me an expression that I didn't necessarily have the words for. I love those things that break me loose into the, yeah, you know what, God, that is how I feel when you're in the room. That is how I feel. There's nothing wrong with those. But I think it's interesting to see here that when the cloud of glory, it becomes evident to everyone, what are they declaring together? They're not declaring anything of this human experience. They're not declaring anything about the trials that they're facing. They're not giving any sort of honor to the stuff in the world that may be bringing them down or that they have to overcome, or, you know, they're not, it's not a warfare song. It's not a I love you, Jesus. Yeah, I've heard this, you're my boyfriend kind of song. You know, it's not one of those. It's not one of those. It is only singing about the attributes, the nature, the glory of God himself. He is good. No question, no debate, no doubt. I'm not hemming and hawing this. I'm going to declare with all my brothers and sisters, the Lord is good, in spite of anything I may want to be declaring at the moment. He is good, and his love endures forever. I love it. It's God is good. That's his nature. His chief attribute is love. Sometimes that love looks very different. Sometimes it holds me. Sometimes it spanks the fool out of me. But it's love, right? And his love, what is God in this for? Relationship, permanence. How long does his love last? Forever. Forever. His love lasts forever. And when these priests come together, when all of the priests, all of the children, all of the women, all of the tribes, all of everyone comes together and says, you know what? Together, we're going to declare one thing. He is good. And his love lasts forever. We behold him together. I'm sure that there were individuals who saw the cloud of glory before this declaration began. But once we can all join into one heartbeat, one voice, one sound, and making one declaration, not about us, but about him. If we want to see God lifted up, we have to lift him up. If my goodness. Man. And as we move toward, when Gary was here, man, I want Gary to come back. That was awesome. Oh Lord, that was really good. I was telling Pastor and Cheryl the other day that it felt like there was like my uncle who I hadn't seen in a long time came in and just started like sharing stuff. And I'm like, oh, I love this guy. It was so great. But one of the things that he was sharing and that Pastor has also been sharing over the last couple months is about this movement away from church as we've known it, away from just the things that we do because those are the things that we do, and into an expression as a kingdom, into an expression as a family. And what that does for, I don't know what that does for you guys, but what it does for me when I hear about not doing, or when I hear about change, especially changing things that I think I can see the merit in that. I think this is good. I think that's good. Not that anything that we're doing is bad. Not that church is bad, but church, okay, this is another thing that sounds like heresy, I think. But church, I don't think, was God's idea. I don't think that denominations were God's idea. This is weird. I don't even think stained glass was God's idea. I don't know. It sure is beautiful. And it's not that anything that the modern church, anything the Western church has done in our desire to please God, our desire to move towards him, our desire to to have his glory be revealed. It's not that any of those things have been bad. It's just that anything that we can do in and of ourselves, any system, any organization, any structure we can design to try and reach God is going to fall short of reaching God. Tower of Babel, you know? Anything we can do, anything we can build, anything we can make that we feel like is a good idea may very well be a good idea, but I don't know that it gets us into the presence of the Lord. I don't know that it gets us to God. I don't know that it brings us to the place that he has in mind for us to be. And so when I hear, Gary Hargrave had shared this, just like, you know, there was an ark that took Noah from one state of the world into a different state of the world. The ark was a vehicle. And then Gary said, the church is kind of like an ark for us. It's a vehicle. It's taking us from one expression into another expression. It has been wonderful in what it's helped us to accomplish, what it's helped us to organize and get together on, but it's not the ultimate. But when I hear that there's more, it comes as a challenge to me. I don't know if anybody else feels conflicted, I wasn't expecting a really loud yes there, but there it is. I don't know if anyone else feels conflicted. Yes! That's okay. It's
oh, man.
Wow. So, no, that's awesome. That's perfect. So, I'm not going to take too much longer, but I feel like the body, the kingdom is God's idea. And we have layered things on top of that to try to make God's idea manageable for us. But what's coming and what we're entering into is, you know, honestly, it's challenging and it may hurt a little bit because it's going to challenge us to take a look at our own paradigms. And it's doing this for me. Like, okay, when I hear that we're moving into a certain direction and those areas that, well, let me, to make this point, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And while you're turning there or scrolling there or flipping there or whatever, let me just preface this by saying the structures that are created by a being carry the flaws of that being, I think. That's not necessarily in the gospel, but that's what I'm saying, and I'm sticking to it. So the things that we have built, the things that we have tried to establish in order to make church also carry some of our flaws. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 3, Paul was saying this to the Corinthians. You're still not following the Spirit. It's the ERV. So there you go. They're easy to read version. You're jealous of each other. You're always arguing with each other. This shows that you're still following your old selfish desires. You're acting like ordinary people of the world. When one of you says, I follow Paul, someone else says, I follow Apollos. When you say things like that, you're acting like people in the world or people who don't know Jesus. Is Apollos so important? Is Paul so important? We're only servants of God who helped you believe. Each one of us did the work God gave us to do. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God is the one who made the seed grow. So the one who plants is not important. The one who waters is not important. Only God is important because he's the one who makes things grow. And so as we move forward and I'm getting challenged to leave behind some old paradigms, it does. It challenges my heart. And I need to make sure that I'm not treating Christianity like a competition, because it's not. You ever seen a family where the siblings are always arguing with each other and the mother and father, or the classic like movie story, the dad doesn't want for the son to do better than he did. And so there's conflict there. Family doesn't work when we're competing to see who's best. It doesn't work. Family only works by mutual submission and honoring the things that are in the members of your family and recognizing that when they do something, that's you doing something. When you succeed, I succeed. And so it makes much more sense for me to help you succeed. And yet, we get stuck in, well, my denomination believes this, and that denomination, I'm going to make a crazy joke right now because they're dumb, you know. Or this church over here, they're so successful. And we get jealous of their success because why aren't people coming to this church or whatever? We'd say and do really dumb things in the name of competition that are actually detracting from the thing that God wants to build with among us, which is unity. He wants to unify. He wants for us to bless the other members of the body. He wants for us to support what they feel God has given them to do and to release them free from our judgment to go and do that thing. He wants us to embrace with open arms the people that he's called us to walk with. The body was God's idea, but church so often has the flaws in it that are the flaws that we have. And we built church, so no, it makes a lot of sense, right? Take a look really quickly. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul was making the point that it's a mistake to look at a different member of the body with anything but love and support. That's a mistake. And it's it doesn't help anyone. I need to look at the rest of the body with love and support. But sometimes, I don't know if it's hard for you, but sometimes it's hard for me because I'm looking at things from old paradigms sometimes. And I'm a really competitive person. And if you play games against me, you'll know. I do not like to lose. That's not funny. I'm very serious. But competition has no place in the body. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Paul, once again, those Corinthians, when will they learn, right? So why are we beginning again to tell you all the good things about ourselves? Do we need letters of introduction to you or from you like some other people? No, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts. It's known and read by all people. You show that you're a letter from Christ that he sent through us. This letter is not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It's not written on stone tablets, but on human hearts. We say this because through Christ, we feel sure before God. I don't mean that we're able to do anything good ourselves. It's God who makes us able to do all that we do. He made us able to be servants of a new agreement from himself to his people. It's not an agreement of written laws, but it is of the Spirit. The written law brings death, but the Spirit gives life. Pastor has been speaking so much about connection being everything. Connection being everything. One of the things that challenges me is this. I keep looking back at things competitively, and that's something that I need to continually, Lord, deal with that in my heart. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be at odds with my brothers and sisters. But another thing I feel like plagues us as humans and then seeps its way into our spiritual walk is one of the things that is this need for recognition. This need for recognition. Lord, I want to serve you. But then sometimes we feel like we're not getting the return that we want to see. Well, why isn't anybody recognizing this thing that I'm doing? Why isn't anybody, saying, hey, good job on that. Hey, wow, you do that better than whatever it is. You do that better than anybody I've seen. Wow, I want to get you up in front of everyone and just talk about how amazing you are. It's wonderful to be recognized by people. It's one of my favorite things. But it's wonderful to be recognized by people, but it's important for us to remember that whether we're recognized or not, we're recognized by our Father in heaven. We're recognized by the Lord. And doing what we do because our Father is pleased means everything. I hope that I get opportunity and that I take advantage of opportunity after opportunity to recognize people, individuals, people I walk with, and just tell you that I love you, tell you that the things that you're doing for our house are appreciated. Paul and Deborah, the things that you do for COP have been appreciated by me for 25 years. You were doing stuff before then, but I wasn't here then. So I just want to say, I love you guys. Oh, my goodness. But I hope I get opportunity and take advantage of that opportunity to recognize you guys individually. But even if nobody ever told you, even if nobody ever told me, wow, you're amazing, you should know that you're amazing, that your Father loves and sees everything that you do. And what one of the things I wanted to mention here out of 2 Corinthians 3 is that whether or not you get a certificate or the opportunity to have the microphone and to get to share that word, or whether you get put in charge of a different ministry or whatever it is, you should know that that's not really necessarily fruit. The Bible said that, you know, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. But fruit, this is going to sound odd, fruit looks a lot like people, right? So you'll know them by their fruit. A certificate on the wall that says I did a good job, that's not fruit. You know, somebody telling me, hey, man, that's amazing, that's not fruit. Fruit is, have I produced anything of God in anybody else around me just because his spirit flowed through me? Have I allowed myself to become a message rather than just have I studied it up so that when somebody's having a problem, I know the scripture they need? Have I become a message, or have I become just like a clanging gong that I know the right stuff, but I don't have love? The important thing, fruit, is what we produce after ourselves and the things that others who we've come in contact with produce after themselves that in some way can be traced back to this connection. Because if we're connected, if you and I are connected, and I'm connected to the Father, you're connected to the Father, then every time I come in contact with you, God is ministering something. Whether you mean it to or not, the stuff that's in you comes out of you and gets on to other people. So there are things that we, you know, there are other things, there are other just, you know, personal human things that we have, paradigms that we hold that sometimes can stall our progression towards family, towards unity, towards the kingdom expression. And when we recognize that those are coming up, it should be our natural reaction to say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. If that's in there, and if that's causing this to stall, and if that's causing someone else to stall, then Lord, remove it from me. And once again, reestablish that connection. I just picked on two today. I picked on this competition that we get involved with as a church, and then this need for recognition, this desire that we have to be recognized by others. But the more that we're honest as individuals, the more that we're honest with each other and recognize that, oh, our hearts are going through a work. We're not completed. Jesus finished the work on the cross and in the resurrection, but we still walk into this development of the thing that he finished, right? So Jesus is perfect. Those of you who know me know that I'm not perfect. I mean, in the eyes of the Lord, I'm perfect, but in the way that I live my life, I got a ways to go. And so as I'm walking this out, have grace for me as I have grace for you, and recognize our hearts are still in process. And we are trying and releasing those things of our human desires. We're releasing those things, that those sacred cows that we've set up here. We're moving those things aside so that we can become this 2 Chronicles 5 expression. Lord, move us into a place, move us into a frame of mind, move us into a paradigm where we can come together and we can exalt you and all together collectively see the presence of the Lord, see the glory revealed. Lord, reveal it. I'm just going to morph into praying now. Lord, reveal your spirit to us more and more. Reveal your heart, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would just search our hearts. If there's things within us, Lord, conflicting things that are keeping this story from moving forward, then Lord, I ask that you would remove those things. Point them out to us, deal with them, remove those things from our hearts so that we can reconnect so that we can reestablish, Lord, and so that we can move forward as one body, not as just individuals who declare that they love the same God. But Lord, let us declare that with one voice together. Bring us into unity, hearing from the same Holy Spirit, moving forward in love that bonds us together and that bonds us to you forever, because your faithful love lasts forever. Lord, bond us together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's about the size of it. That's about what I felt like the Lord was wanting me to share. And I just want to encourage everybody. Thanks. I just want to encourage you guys and encourage myself that we are moving forward as a body. We are getting stronger in love. We are growing together. And some of that, you know, some of that takes us dealing with conflicting desires, conflicting goals, conflicting paradigms. But there is love and grace enough in this body for those to be, you know, those to be water under the bridge. There's love and grace enough to cover all of these things, all of these issues that we may have that are related to our humanity. The God who's in us is greater than anything that can stand against us. Amen?